It's Paltadoa, the New Zealand Blood Bowl podcast.
Hi everyone, welcome to Paltadoa, New Zealand's best and worst Blood Bowl podcast. This evening we've got a very special guest star with us, none other than Babbage of Babbage Brisbane fame. Is that right?
Queensland, but yes, that's fun.
Queensland, Brisbane, it's exactly the same place with no geographical anomaly. Maybe a couple of thousand K. It's fine. Bigger than Queensland.
That's like saying there's no other part of the North Island than Wellington. And I think
that's also true.
People might have a problem with that.
Yeah, so this evening we've got obviously our very special guest star, but we've also got some update news with all the fun and games from gnomes who have been introduced to Blood Bowl. But perhaps we should ask none other than Mr. Babbage himself to see, do you have any recollections of gnomes being in Blood Bowl before?
Not officially. The biggest place gnomes feature in the lore is Warhammer Fantasy role-playing game, of all places.
This is correct. Warhammer Fantasy, there was a gnome jester in a white dwarf, I think, and they misprinted the gnome jester. For 100 experience points, you could go from one attack to 20, plus 20. A gnome jester ended up with 21 attack after only a limited amount of experience, which was awesome. Jogging my memory now, Bab.
Yeah, they're kind of a footnote in the Warhammer Old World. They're not really there's not really a lot of detail on them. And their connection to Blood Bowl was actually a very unofficial team called the Forest Folk, which was produced in Citadel Journal 17.
Yeah.
Back in the late 90s.
Yeah.
And those teams that were produced in that were never ever designed to be official, although Citadel Journal 8, which was the first Citadel Journal to have Blood Bowl in it, did have a Demons of Khorne team, and we do know what happened there eventually.
Yeah. But that was Matt someone, wasn't it? I forget his second name, but he introduced that Forest Folk team, and it was my favourite Blood Bowl team. I ran a team of them, and I converted them. I've still got them in my garage. What I'll do is I'll go and dig out the figures, not right now, but and I'll post them to show people because they're pretty cool. And I got a gnome from Impact Miniatures, I think, as well. Maybe a metal gnome.
Yeah, there's a gnome team that was produced by Tom Anders of Impact, of course, good friend of the show. Yeah, that gnome team were really designed to play as halflings because they had these contraptions that a gnome would sit in and big mechanic-y kind of, I don't know,
like robot thing.
But we're controlled by a gnome, and that was meant to be the Treeman. So, they're even more appropriate than ever. And so our outgoing NAF president posted a picture of that gnome team with a couple of second edition Freemen and a little plastic Kinder Surprise goose thing. I'm ready to go with the gnome.
Excellent. Very good. Very good. You're quite excited about them, aren't you, Tricky?
Oh my God. Yes. I'm so excited. I'm like, I'll just get them. I'm absolutely like, I'd like to go around probably everyone and say, how deep are you into this? But I'm like, pitch, team, dice,
cards.
Never the cards. That's where it stops.
Can I just sort of jump sideways? I was going to say I'm assuming it'll be a Forge World, but I'm just sort of trying to get my knowledge up to speed on these. But doing a quick Google, I've seen it up at the Warhammer community page, and we've got the Gnomes of Blood Bowl of a fantastic star player. None other than a Rodney Roachbait, the legendary star player.
Yes, indeed.
A chap what I can only describe as a gnome with a fishing pole. And his special rule is capture the day. Once per half, if Rodney is standing and begins his activation within 3 squares of a ball, which is on the ground, he can roll a d6, and on a 1-2, nothing happens. On a 3+, Rodney immediately gains possession of the ball.
Yep.
It's a pretty good way of grabbing a ball out of some heavy traffic there, isn't it, really?
It's really interesting to compare with Boa Constrictor's special skill, because Boa has the ability, if he starts his activation next to the player with the ball, he can snatch it off the opposing player. But you can't do anything. You're stuck next to him, and of course you're going to get blocked the following turn. There is an upside to that because boa constrictor's got the skill that means you can put the ball wherever you want. Is that
Yeah,
fair hands. So, you know, in comparison, you know, it looks like Rodney's pretty good in terms of, you know, if you imagine the ball stuck in a big scrum there with a whole bunch of players from both teams all bouncing around rather than trying to pick it up in three tackle zones, you know, you're up to three squares away. Yoink. Thank you very much.
I think the thing
going to be a big part of it, eh? You've got to get the ball loose and then woof, away you go. Jobs are good.
Yeah. And you've got to be in the right place with him. I think, like, yeah. It's I don't think he's OP, but I think, yeah. Well, time will tell, won't it?
Yeah, I was going to say, at what point are we really going to concede that gnomes are OP? I think that's what we really need to be concerned about here.
I've already written the rules pack for the Great Barrier Biff 2, and I've put them at tier 4 out of 5. There you go. I'm just making a stand.
Oh, really?
Quite yeah, right.
Well, it's not till August, so, you know, I figure I might as well include them in the rules pack because they're going to be around by then.
Yeah.
I do think GW have picked up that there. If you have to design a new team, like, we're not talking about the other teams of legend teams that are yet to be released, but if you've got to design something fresh, then, you know, I think the biggest gap in where all the teams sit is probably a fifth stunty team. So in that sense, I'm relatively relatively comfortable. And I think there's some really interesting dynamics. I think Jay Clare, who is the lead designer for Blood Bowl at the moment, sitting underneath Andy Hoare, who used to be, I think he's made some really interesting decisions. And I think, you know, when you think about the things he's added, like a hit and run skill and the beer boars and what they do, they just add an extra level of strategy. And I think, you know, when you look at the skills that the gnomes have, you know, they come with wrestle. Well, wrestle's the perfect tackle counter for block, sorry. And they've got jump up as well, so that's doubly good. And, you know, people are saying, oh, well, you can't use tackle if they don't have dodge, which we don't know that yet, but, you know, that could be, it could be quite an interesting double counter to your traditional takedown of sunny teams, which is your dwarf with block and tackle.
Yeah, I feel that they're going to be non-dodge. I did say that very early. Yeah, I'm not too sure. That's not official. But as well, I feel like we're really in a presence. So it's Andrew Hart, also friend of the show as well. He's he knows my dad. So he's a friend of my dad.
Friend of the dad of the show.
Yeah.
Well, do you know what I like about them is I don't know why. It's just me. Perhaps I'm just, you know, that excited about, you know, good guys, quote unquote. But I kind of feel like for a long time, all of the really interesting teams were bad guys. You had the Underworld, you know, all of those sort of ones. And I get it. You got the Warpstone and all the fun and interesting weird stuff that you can throw in there. But we were the good guys. And, you know, we finally got things like Old World Alliance, as mediocre as they might be. But now we're getting some really cool ones, which I definitely did not see coming a mile off, so... And probably couldn't because, you know, they're gnomes, but, you know.
And I'm firmly in, I'm a big fan of what Jay Clare's done in the 2020 rules. You know, I'm an old timer. You know, I've been around Blood Bowl since 94, but I do think he's doing a really good job. I have a personal theory that he arrived halfway through the 2020 rules, and I think there's some evidence to suggest that. And that's why they're a little bit hodgepodge, and there's a few things that need tweaking. But I think I'm comfortable. I think he'll do a really good job with these gnomes. As I said, I think there's a bit of a gap. My, if you want to, hear it here first, my pitch is that they're not going to make a Slan team. They're going to do a triple play on words and make them Slan-ish, or maybe make them Slan-ish. They won't do jumping frogs because Andy Hoare is personally invested in the fact that the only Slan are fat frogs because he invented that as an 18-year-old when he was writing the 5th edition army book,
okay,
the Warhammer Fantasy Battles, way back in the day. And he's adamant. There are no jumpy frogs anymore. That's it. So they can't come back as that. So then you've got, well, okay, they've got to be either Kislev or something else. Well, here's my hot tip. My hot tip is that the Slaanesh team, which we can see they've written the ability for there to be Zinch and Slaanesh into the 2020 rule set, right? Because you got that favoured of rule, right? And you can choose one of the four Chaos Gods there. It's right there in the rules. There's just a gap in that there's no team. But my hot take is that they'll revamp in the same way they've revamped a whole bunch of other teams. But Slaan will become Slaanesh. There you go. There's my hot take.
Yeah.
I like what you did there, though. I do appreciate the wordplay, if nothing else. So, you know.
So do you feel that, I kind of feel like, okay, there's so many FAQs out there. A rule clear up on a new box that Christmas.
Yeah, look, I was saying very early on that they'd release another box set with, you know, Amazons versus Norse in there. I thought that would be quite clever. But now I think if they're going to do it, they might do it like something like Island of Blood and go Elves versus Dwarves, which would be Dwarves versus High Elves in the final box set. Yeah. And there's a bit of precedence for that in, you know, the original Dungeon Bowl set in second edition had Elves and Dwarves.
Well, I do like how they've been mixing up because, you know, Orcs and Orcs and Humans have been obviously the main one for a long, long time, and that's all good. But, you know, how many versions of that can we have? So I like the fact that they've gone, you know, even in the more recent edition, all right, yeah, you've still got Humans and Orcs. But, and I think that was a nice little sidestep on their part as well. That, you know, that suddenly means like, oh, well, I've got a few human teams. This is a nice variation on that.
Yeah, and I don't think you can fault any of the 2020 rules releases. I mean, certainly none of them have been overpowered or unbalanced in any way. I think they've been really, really nice. I mean, yeah, okay. Some people are finding Black Orcs a bit of a challenge to play. But then you've got people like Dan, who's Mike Davies in the UK, and here in Australia we've got Lee Hobbins here, who runs a fantastic charity event every year, who pick up those Black Orcs and just smash everyone because they know how to play them.
Very cool.
But I think what's really interesting is we can clearly see there's a new Treeman. And yeah. I don't think it's going to be in the box as much as I'd love it to be on the sprue, like the pump wagon. Well, I just think from a business decision, it's not going to work for GW to do that because they've already got a plastic tree, right? There's already a plastic tree you can buy. If they release a box with two trees in it, nobody's ever going to buy that plastic tree again.
And there's still loads of them hanging around. Like I've come so close to buying it so many times, if only for the Acorn the Squirrel model, but never quite got there. And as you say, if they bring out a box with it, it's well, that's all done and dusted, isn't it? Really?
Yeah. And I'm not that diehard. I find Acorns a bit of fun. You know, some people go like, "What? Animals playing Blood Bowl? How dare you? You know, you can't have animals playing Blood Bowl." And now we've got a stupid squirrel, and we've got a ram, foxes, we've got a sheep running around, and we've got pigs running around now. Like, what is this? A farmyard? Well, you know, and 25 years ago, obviously everybody big stink for Lucky Luke, you know, the unicorn that played for Amazons back in the early 2000s, and everybody went, "That's stupid." But a lot of that was actually his rules were pretty broken. I mean, he was a movement 10 player, strength 4.
Oh, jeepers.
And he had sure feet as well. So it was just ridiculous. But, you know, I think the point is that Blood Bowl is ultimately a parody. It's a satire. It's a play on. It's fantastic. And, you know, if nothing else, look at the memes that have come out about the goose, you know, on the gnome team, right? Like, just that's been fantastic. So I think the more laughs we can have about Blood Bowl, the better. And so I'm all for the gnomes. I'm firmly in the. I'm looking forward to this. It looks like a team that'll just be there for fun. It won't be, you know, if anything, it'll be up there with the, you know, it'll be there in the other stunty team. Just take it for a laugh. Yeah. Bring it. That's exactly what Blood Bowl needs to be.
Yeah, we are thinking right stuff for them, aren't we?
Oh, I think you'd be crazy. It'd be crazy not to, because they got two trees.
Yeah. But I reckon if you put right stuff on those foxes, I'm not. They're going to have movement 8. That's going to be horrific. Horrific.
A fox wouldn't let you pick it up.
No,
and throw
wouldn't
it.
You're right. It'd just turn around and bite you. What was I thinking?
They won't be throwing the badges or the gigs.
It's just not realistic, is it, Tricky? It's just not realistic.
It's just not realistic. Come on.
Have you never tried to throw a fox? Come on.
If I think of all of those foxes that I've seen playing American football and running around with, it's not realistic that a tree would pick one up and throw it. You're absolutely right. What was I thinking?
Yeah, after all, what would the fox say?
Beautiful thing.
I'd like to see, that nobody went for that one, and that's a good thing. So. I know where you live.
That's fantastic. No, it's interesting. Those pieces are interesting as well. You know, starting guard on the wee Beastmaster and stuff. So there's some really interesting stuff there. And they just look like they're going to be a joy to paint, I reckon. You know?
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely. And have you got any gnome names? Have you got names for your team yet?
Oh, I've not got that far, Tricky. You're way ahead of me, brother.
Jeepers, yeah. You're on to Norman.
Yeah, I've got
you
it.
You haven't stayed up all night, you know, wrestling with what you're going to call your gnome team? I'm already there.
All right, Babs, then go on. What are you going to call it? Yeah, call it your bluff.
Gnome Hatter Watt.
Oh,
no. Okay.
And the Watt would be like the British saying, you know, Would you like a spot of tea? What? Like WOT. Gnome Hatter Watt.
What? Yeah.
I'm not sure I'm more offended by his lack of ability to do the "what does the fox say" noise or his British accent. it's quite offensive either way, to be honest. But
I was going with player names. Jasper Carrot was about as far as I got. I was like, that's a good gnome name, isn't it?
That's very good.
Gnome place like home. That's all I've got. That's gnome, about as good as I've got. Yeah.
I'm nomad is my one. I just keep moving.
Oh, nomads! I like that. We could do something nomad. Like that. Oti poti nomads.
The oti poti. Oh, we got it. Okay, that's it. Locked it in.
All right, trademark. You got to pay me for every usage.
So, Babs, we've had a few people on in the past, and we always try and get their origin story.
If you could let us know your oranges, that would be great.
Yeah, well, I mean, my origin story is I came out of my mum, like most people. But origin story. So, my brother actually was big into Middle Earth role playing games back in the 80s, and so he bought a whole bunch of Citadel, Lord of the Ring miniatures, the original Middle Earth miniatures.
Ooh.
From the 80s. They still had Slaughterbase, but only just. They'd kind of moved over to Slaughterbase about that time. And anyway, he decided when he hit year 11 that he was too old and too mature to be into gaming. You know, some wry smiles here. But he offered to sell me all his miniatures and paints for $30. I wanted to add to that collection. Most of the miniatures were already painted and whatever. So I made the trek from Canberra, where I lived at the time, up to the only Games Workshop store that existed in Australia at the time, which was Pitt Street in Sydney. And this was 1992 at the time, and I bought Blood Bowl miniatures because they were just the coolest miniatures out there. And I loved American football. I had no idea about the rules. I hadn't played any of it. And so I spent a while painting those. In fact, fast forward, I was still painting them in 1994. And one day, it was a miserable day, and we were down the far south coast of New South Wales on holiday, and there wasn't much to do. And my father said to me, oh, look, let's go to the newsagent. I'll buy your magazine to read because there isn't much else to do. And so, lo and behold, White Dwarf was on the shelves, and it was White Dwarf 175, which was the release of Death Zone. And I read that thing cover to cover. And when we got back to Canberra at the end of those holidays, I raced into the local friendly gaming store, and I said to Dee, who still runs a comic store in Belconnen, you know, sell me this Blood Bowl thing. And she said, oh, it just arrived on the shelves last week. We've only just got it in. And in fact, I was so new on the shelf, I bought it for the second edition Blood Bowl price. It hadn't been bumped up to third edition price. So I grabbed a copy then, and I've been playing. So I literally came on the arrival of third edition Blood Bowl. I started playing in 1994. And then when I was at uni in 1995, there was this fantastic new thing around that only universities had access to called the internet.
I don't know what that is. Very new.
But nobody had it in homes, but this was at universities. And I discovered that there was this wealth of information of fans sharing stuff about Blood Bowl, and there was this email chain called the Blood Bowl mailing list, and you could sign up to that and you could get it in a digest form or individual emails into your inbox. So I joined the Blood Bowl mailing list, and I was a regular on that. And then my invitation to be on both the Blood Bowl Rules Committee in the 2000s and be involved in the formation of the NAF is really just because I'd been on that mailing list for a long time and given sensible or semi-sensible answers. And so people thought I knew what I was talking about. I pulled them, didn't I?
Well, there's a big jump there from, you know, I found it in the local newsagents and decided I should get it. I remember that cover as well. It had the wood elves with the Greshnak black hoof there, didn't it?
Yeah.
Quite a yellowy background, but it was, you know, that was a big moment as well. And then all of a sudden you're on the rules committee. So how did that happen?
Yeah, so obviously I played in my local league, you know, in fact, I've kind of formed local leagues in Canberra, and then we met other people that played, and then we discovered that the big convention in Canberra every year is CanCon, and so that's where Blood Bowl, they had a tournament. In fact, the first time, you know, shortly after I got the box set, CanCon was still running second edition tournaments. So, I went along and watched some of that. I didn't actually play myself until 1999 when I played at CanCon, but I went along every year, and that's where I met the people I still know today, like Emma Bigwood, who was on the AZT team with me.
So, Babs, you were involved in some early New Zealand-based Blood Bowl.
Yeah, my first experience with Blood Bowl in New Zealand was actually... I have some good connections family-wise in New Zealand. So my uncle was an Anglican minister in Nelson, and he is currently retired in Paraparaumu. Yeah, I don't know whether I said that correctly. But
home of the Capital Shield at the moment, yeah.
Yeah, I'm quite keen to visit again soon, and we might talk about that a bit later. But anyway, my cousin was getting married in 1997, and so... I saved and scraped enough together to get over to New Zealand for the wedding, and I had enough to kind of backpack around New Zealand. And at the time, on the Blood Bowl mailing list, I put out a bit of a shout-out, hey, I'm going to New Zealand. Hey, is there anybody interested? It turned out there was a fledgling little league in Wellington.
Okay.
And that's actually where, or just outside of Wellington, was where my cousin got married. Yeah, so what we organised is I would be able to crash at his house and sleep there for a night, and in exchange we'd play... four games of Blood Bowl. That was the kind of trade-off. Is I could sleep on the floor, and in exchange...
In one night? Or how long was that period?
I think it was over two, like, you know, two before, two after. And so it was basically me versus this little league in Wellington. And so I brought a couple of teams over to play both teams. And I ended up losing, because back in the day, you know, you got to remember this is 1997, right? So third edition, but you could have four star players, and you could have four griffs if you wanted.
Right.
Or you could have two morgues and two griffs if you wanted to. And so my Chaos Dwarf team had two Hatharks at the time.
Yeah.
We were kind of playing this. I bring my league team. They brought their own league teams. And of course, back then, teams spiraled to become as big as you allowed them to be. There wasn't the same kind of redrafting or you know, salary cap systems that we've had.
You had you matched the TVs, and you had dirty tricks and random events and stuff you could kind of get. Is that correct?
No, it was well before that. Yeah, no, and it was TR. Oh, really? It was team ranking back then. It wasn't TV.
So
it was, you know, we were kind of, you know, playing. I've got my 215 TR Chaos Dwarves versus your 230 humans. You know, it was that kind of matchup.
Yeah.
And so I managed to win with my Chaos Dwarves, but in the process was so pummeled to a heap by a Chaos team that I was in no fit state to win the final, so I was defeated by the Wellington team. So, so there you go. There's the first Trans-Tasman Cup, as we called it.
Way
back in 1997. Yeah.
I have to see if any of our listeners were on the Kiwi side in that particular event.
Yeah, I can try and trawl through my old emails from 1997 and see what names. I may well. But it was great because I got free bedding and a meal, I think.
Oh, as tournament prizes go, that's pretty good.
That's really good.
That's it. How many tournaments, you know, throw in accommodation, you know? Well, my other claim to fame is I was the NAF tournament organizer when the NAF formed, right up until, so that was in 2002 it formed, and then I remained overseeing getting at NAF dice to people in New Zealand until 2013, when I think I handed the Australian stuff over to Hutchie, Dan Hutchinson, and Steve Arthurs.
Steve.
So that meant every year I was saying, yep, I'm going to approve Greenstone Cup. You know, I'm going to, you know, so all that. And of course, really good connection with Smeeborg, or AKA Paul, who I hope is a friend of the show.
Friend of the show. Yeah. We haven't had Paul on, actually. We should speak to Paul.
You should.
Just a couple of weeks ago, I dropped off his NAF 200 trophy with him at his house.
Very nice.
Oh, good.
I hope he's doing well. I'd love to catch up with him. Yeah.
Yeah, he's done all right. He actually ran for parliament this year, which is one of the reasons that he wasn't able to play
much blood bowl. Yeah, yeah.
He is the very definition of a gentleman.
Very true indeed.
I've given the heads up for Oti Poti Bowl, and he hasn't registered yet, but he's definitely thinking this. He's
great guy.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Absolutely. Absolute legend. And I think you should definitely get him on the show.
Oh,
and just to, you know, coming up in a Pautaroa episode soon.
I'll give him a shout.
The man who formed the bond in Blood Bowl between Australia and New Zealand, Paul Deakin himself. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
All the way to 2010.
And when the PAV was announced by Georgie Christo, Smeeborg got a lot of mentions in that episode because for the first few years of Trans-Tasman Gaming, or apart from your very good self coming here in 1997, Babs, he was the one going to Australia to game from New Zealand. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Yes, right.
He is, and he's the man who invented turning the figures as well to show them who played. That does not surprise me at all.
In fact, I tried to find out which was the first CanCon he'd been to, but our NAF records only go back to 2003. I don't remember whether he was at CanCon 2002. I actually took over running CanCon in 2002, and I don't remember whether he was there or not. But he was definitely there from 2003 right through till 2015.
The other person you were mentioning was Christian Spager.
Yeah. He's a New Zealand resident.
He is.
And of course he draws the comics in the back of every spike.
Yeah, and he drew the Dibble shield and stuff that we still see in the Fumble League. So I happen to follow his art on Facebook. I feel this real kind of connection to the game, you know, from over here as well. Just having Christian's penmanship, you know.
He also made the Auckland Blood Bowl Federation and the Christchurch Blood Bowl Federation and the Marlborough Blood Bowl League shield, the bicoloured shields that we all use. That was Christian as well.
And he was involved in. He was actually the tournament organizer for some of the Greenstone Cups. That's where I first mentioned with him, and that's why we're friends now. When I was NAF tournament organizer, he put the paperwork in to read over the rules pack for Greenstone Cup in Auckland. I was absolutely delighted when he was asked to officially draw the comics. I think you couldn't have a better person do those comics for Games Workshop themselves.
I agree.
He's really nice.
Got the doodling skills. He's got the right sort of background to it as well, and the right attitude for bowling. And I think you see that come through in all of his stuff, really.
Yep, agreed.
And not only that, but it's his artistic style matches Blood Bowl very well. Yep. There's a dark humour in it, which is perfect for Blood Bowl. He's Blood Bowl royalty now, as far as I'm concerned.
He's
joined the ranks of... Carl Critchlow did one episode, one of the spikes, and... The earlier episodes were Pete Nifton, who did all the second edition artwork. So, you know, what caliber of man joins
absolutely.
That rank?
Oh,
honestly,
for sure. Yeah, completely.
Yeah.
I think that'd be really interesting. I'd love to listen to that episode and hear how he works with Nick Kime to come up with the storyline each spike. Nick Kime was involved in the Blood Bowl comic. I don't know whether you have read that, but he wrote the story for that. So I don't know what role. I'd be interested to hear that creative process in action.
So what else is going on over your way then in terms of blah blah? And you did actually foreshadow a potential visit as well. So I'd be interested to jump into that.
Yeah, it's not really my news to share, but I am absolutely very, very passionately keen on coming over to the North and South Islands again next year. And there is a Blood Bowl tournament I am desperately trying to qualify for. So the tournament is the Osbol State Champions or Osbol State Championships, where we have the North and South Island both put up a team of six. And then, some lesser states and territories from the Western Isle also chip in. And so I've been working really hard to really revamp the Blood Bowl tournament scene in Queensland, and with success. I can't help myself. I did the same thing in the ACT in New South Wales in the very early days of Blood Bowl tournaments of the early 2000s, and yet I'm doing it here again in Queensland with I'd like to say success and great partnership with a whole bunch of fantastic tournament organisers. Big shout out to them. But yeah, so we've got a really strong contingent coming for Queensland, which is good because in 2023, when it was held in Brisbane, Queensland were the cellar dwellers. But I was team captain for another territory, which was the ACT team, which was a bit of a sad state of affairs, but we still beat Queensland. So we're going to improve from there. And the Kiwis were a no-show, I have to say. I mean, we're still in the whole post-COVID recovery, but that's just not cricket. I'm sorry. That's a bit.
No, it's not. You should know this by now, Babs. I'm surprised, of all people. Where's this LBW go, he says, during the Rules Commission? Oh, jeepers. How did he get there? I'm still floored, right? It's been, I don't know, it's been over a decade since I've been back into Blood Bowl, since the 1994 teenage rush that it was. But there was this really brilliant article of Babs in The White Dwarf about just some real, real solid, I wouldn't call it basic, I'd sort of call it, you know, basic plus, sort of turning into medium level, sort of just basic plays and situations. And I thought that was just so good, especially when, you know, for a magazine that's usually romper stomper, chuck some dice, laugh your ass off, ooh, look at these new minis. He managed to get in a table that included like percentages to one decimal place as well, and talking about the number crunching of how to compute the 2d6 odds and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I just thought it was a great article.
I have to confess, That was a co-authorship with Andy Meacham, who was the guy who developed the Lizardmen team for G-Dub back in the day. Ooh. And the smart table calculations, they were all him, not me.
Amazing.
Disclaimer.
Don't try and wriggle out of it. Don't try and wriggle out of multiple decimal place percentages.
And actually, you know, hot off the press, I actually spoke to a good supporter of Blood Bowl here in Queensland. And if you're ever in Rockhampton in Queensland, I highly recommend visiting Millennium Comics and Collectibles. Rob Williams there is a mainstay of the industry, and he has been involved in those stores for 35 years. He told me that Games Workshop have just revised their support for games, and Blood Bowl is now considered a core game, which means if you run a tournament in a local gaming store, and this will apply in New Zealand as well as in Australia, and the store can apply for up to $500 of tournament support, and that can include the salary of the staff.
Oh, wow.
Support the event. So it's not just product. They will donate product, but also financial money to support staff on the day for your tournament. That's huge. That's $500 Australian dollars, right? Not 500 South Pacific pesos. I mean, we're talking.
What's wrong with that?
That was previously only kind of a Warhammer, and not much else got that, I suppose. And now Blood Bowl's been added into That's awesome.
Blood Bowl's been recategorized as a core. I don't know whether it's true of other games like Necromunda, other specialist games, but it's true of Blood Bowl. It's now considered to be, you know, I guess because they're still releasing plastic miniatures for it, it's considered to be a core game, and so it's eligible for that level of prize support. But you have to host the tournament at the gaming store to be eligible for that. So, I had Rob Williams saying, look, you know, let's run another one out of Millennium like I did last year with Tournament of Champions, which is Queensland's version of PPC.
The details around it are pretty cool, but more importantly, I think just the fact that, you know, the Blood Bowl's still punching above its weight, you know, that it's obviously still got some momentum. In fact, it's regained momentum, bearing in mind that, you know, it's gone without love for an awfully long time. But I don't know, you see a lot of games pivoting towards the skirmish sort of side these days. Obviously, you see Age of Sigmar and all this sort of stuff. But yeah, Blood Bowl's always been that size. You know, it's a game in a box. It's your, I got 16 minis, I'm good to go sort of thing. So
you'd be really naive to think the Games Workshop don't have eyes and ears out there. You know, they absolutely would know that World Cup last year had, you know, what was the number, 2,435 coaches at it. Like, they would know that. They would know what's going on. I mean, the fact that if you look in the Vampire Spike, There is I think it's a Coffin Corner note. Yeah. That is actually them trying to tap into an in-joke in Blood Bowl community. Like, unless you're a member of Blood Bowl community, that has no... It's the 8 out of 110 joke.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I absolutely are listening to us as fans. And for me, that is such a long way from the Kirby era. You know, like, it's great to see yeah. Games Workshop step away from that era and listen to the customers and the fans and the hobbyists like us. You know, I know a few people that are still in the playtesting group for Games Workshop. I have great faith in them. I could not drop names, but I don't want to because they're under NDA, so they can't disclose what they do. Yeah. You know, I'm very confident that what they're producing is going to go from where we are is good to be even better. And so if there is a Blood Bowl 2024, I'm excited for it. I think it'll be next step up. And absolutely the 2020 rules, I think, have the ability to do that. I'm also really excited. Speaking of being super excited, I'm super excited for Lost Bowl State Champions. Keep the date free. I think it's going to be school holidays, September, October 2025. Not my news to tell,
nice.
And so I do encourage people to go through the proper channels for that. I don't know the exact date, but I believe it's going to be in the Auckland Bay area of some description.
Awesome.
In September, October next year, and I plan to be representing State Queensland. And if you are listening in and you think, oh, you know, I'm not going to be in the top six coaches in the South Island, no way I'm going to be able to, you know, beat Tricky and make that team. That's just not going to happen.
You've not met him yet, have you? You've not really.
And don't worry, he's an easy beat. No, that's not what I meant. What I mean is there is an open that runs parallel. And if you can just come to be part of the camaraderie.
Yeah, for sure.
It's kind of like a World Cup light. You know, it's going to be as good as the World Cup, but a lot closer to home. You know, Kiwi home territory, home field advantage, open are like the crowd. You know, they can wander around the games, see how the North and South Island are doing, encourage them, spur them on. Don't give them advice while the game's going on, but you can absolutely get behind what's going on. I think it's going to be absolutely fantastic.
Absolutely. We'll get our news hounds onto that and make sure we hunt them up. But and this really kind of like you're leaning into something that is almost the theme of the show. Those, like, from last time, we're talking about the connections you get through all these events, and like we've noticed that through the Pautoroa Provisional Championships, and now, stating again, I've now been named Otago captain by.
Just by yourself by again. By our good friend Default. Yeah, he gets around a bit Default, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, and like it's funny because now I'm in the captain's corner. We're discussing who can come along and who can and how you do the team selections and stuff. It's quite highbrow what the other people are talking about. I'm more like, well, God, who have I got four bodies? Besides, actually, I would like to take four local lead, like, you know, up and say, right, here we are, we're Otago with what you got. But you know, that lack of tournament experience is a bit of a nagging doubt. So I don't know, like, Bab, from you, for someone who's played a lot of tournaments, organized a lot of tournaments, what would you say to those players who think, oh, you know, can I do this?
Get there. That's the simple one. You can't have a bad tournament experience. It's extremely difficult. Even if your games even if you're outmatched every step of the way, there's ways around that. I mean, play flings, you know, or have a look at the prize pool and go, right, I'm never going to win this, but I'm going to go for most casualties, you know, or if there's a prize for most fouls, right, I'm playing goblins, right, like, that's it.
Yeah.
Sneaky get, off we go. So, you know, I'm just get there. Yeah, that's the first thing, and you'll love it. And it's quite different from a league in that normally if you're signing up to a league, there's some kind of commitment that you're going to need to maintain over a period of time. Here in Central Queensland, we have a lot of workers who work in the mining industry, so they do what's FIFO or DIDO, like they drive in, drive out from the mines that are, you know, up to 5 hours drive away one way.
Yeah.
And so our league is probably the slowest burning league in in on the planet. You know, like we run one game a month, you know, because trying to get people together in person is really hard with everybody's shifts. You know, literally one of the guys is going to drop in on our round on Saturday, but nope, he's out at Baralaba at the mines out there and his shift doesn't finish till Wednesday. Like, that's, forget it. Like, that's 4 hours drive away from where we were playing.
Yeah.
But, you know, you just run a really slow burn league according to your context, right? So that's what's really, and I think that's really important in the Blood Bowl community too, is play according to context. You know, in your big urban environments like Melbourne and Sydney, they can run a weekly tournament. Everybody gets together after their work and they're all in the CBD anyway and they all play their regular game at a regular time slot. And that works. But it just doesn't work in other locations, you know. And I think actually Queensland and New Zealand have a lot in common. I'd love to talk about, you know, what lessons we can learn, basically leveraging off the huge success of PPC. And I think there are some really big things we can learn. And in terms of Tricky, you know, I think what you want to do is you talk to your local league players and say, look, you know, a tournament is you turn up for a very short period of time. It's done in a weekend. You're playing either one day or 2 day. It's kind of like a league in a weekend. You know, Resurrection is there, so you can't have a shocker. You can't lose half your team. You know, another thing that didn't exist until Ian Williams came out from the UK to Australia, we had progression tournaments up until then. Imagine traveling from Melbourne to Canberra, and in your first game, your witch elf dies. That's it, dead. No replacement. it happened.
Yeah.
Anyway. But, you know, for Otago, you know, I think the point is that, you know, just get your league guys to come, you know, just to suss it out. And trust me, you won't look back. Tournaments are a massive addition to league play. They'll never replace it because they're two completely different experiences. But the community in Blood Bowl is what makes it. And so that's why I love Blood Bowl. I love Blood Bowl because I get to catch up with people who I haven't seen for a while. And so I'm a diehard tournament attendee and league player, and I love that it brings particularly men together. Obviously, we're not exclusively men, and you know, shout out to all the great ladies who play as well. But I particularly think there's a gap in our society where men don't talk enough, and so things like depression and suicide creep in because guys just don't have other guys to talk to, and the Blood Bowl community has already seen a huge need there, has already stepped into that space with things like Thrud Ball, supporting mental health initiatives. Squad Chaos, I think, in the UK, specifically have that goal in mind. I love Blood Bowl for that reason. Just chatting. Just chat. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And whoops, I forgot to blitz this turn. I will. PPC is it just... You know, one team from each province. Is that the idea?
That is very much the idea. No. We have only done it once, and that was this year. Last year, sorry. That's very much the idea. So, one team of four per province. Yeah.
So all the Blood Bowlers who live in Dunedin, they have to fight for a spot on that team. How does that process?
Yes. Well, technically, we're Otago, so it's like that includes Queenstown, which I know Chris Ray is up in Queenstown. I'd say he's a friend of the show. I haven't talked to him for a while. He used to be the kind of commissioner up there, and they've got their own little badge, you know. And I've always wanted to have a Queenstown kind of battle against Dunedin at some point as well.
I just assumed the qualification for the Great Otago jersey would involve just some sort of street fight outside of the model store there,
Carpety team and the Wellington team both went with winners of a particular tournament were the ones that got on on their team, but other teams it was kind of, hey guys, who's up for spending, you know, a few $100 on a trip to Wellington? Oh, there's four of us. Brilliant. Yeah. There you go. Job done. And that was how they worked that out. So we've only done the PPC once. And so maybe some of those kind of processes around team development and team choice will sort of solidify as we move through a few more iterations of it. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, I'd love to explore that a bit further, because I think that ability to kind of, you know, set some kind of process for finding who who your champions are, and I mean that in a very, you know, ancient kind of definition of the word champion, where you're a representative of the people, you know, having a process to working out who that is what we're currently doing in Queensland. And huge kudos to James Russell Wills, a.k.a. Robert Rabid Bogscum, who is, I'm sure, a friend of the show. His Auspol State Champions that has been running a long time now has really helped Queensland, because it's been that desire to make the Queensland in Auckland that has really helped provide, it's kind of the fuel, or one of the factors that provides the fuel for people to go to tournaments and earn their place on the team through a point system that we have, that's really helped. Inspire Queensland to step into new things. So,
that's very cool.
I'm happy to talk about that another time. But I just think PPC has the ability to really take New Zealand Blood Bowl to the next level. And so, hats off to the PPC guys. I think it's a fantastic initiative. Make the team if you can. Why would you not want to go to Christchurch? I think it's a brilliant idea. You know,
the garden
and so much experience in Mainland Bowl has been running for so long, and they'll be bringing that to PPC.
Yeah, absolutely. Good on you, Welshie, for Mainland Bowl there, brother. You and Gil.
I'll be picking up every hitchhiker on my way to meet the team.
Yeah. Oh, just keep your skirt on, hey? Well, just because we're going to loop around, I think, a bit, just to jump back, and we weren't recording at the time, but I'm just going to extend the invitation here for Babs to Skype about the package over his shoulder. We can see him on the video cameras as we're chatting away here.
Yeah.
But, so this is mainly a podcast, so I'm not sure there's going to be a visual element to it, but...
in my hands, here you go, I'll provide the audio sound, all right?
That crinkly brown card. Yeah.
Brown paper bag. Ooh. This is a, what would you say, 70 centimetres by 40 centimetres by centimetres package that has just arrived from the UK from my good friend David Pug Mason, who back in the day wrote a comic strip for Blood Bowl called 100 Foot Heroes and his halfling team, which sadly he lost. It got stolen out of his car and he's had to replace all the miniatures. Anyway... He and also Mike Davies, who also does all the statistical work for the NAF. Those two guys have been absolutely legends, and they have helped me to finish my Blood Bowl collection. So, in my proud possession now, I have every single Blood Bowl miniature that has been produced from first edition until now, including the vampires. Excepting some of the Forge World stuff that's still currently available, I make sure I get all the stuff that goes out of print. With one exception, I don't have the unreleased Dark Elf referee because last time I watched that go on eBay, it sold for about $1,300 US dollars.
Yeah, we had a discussion on our on the Discord about it at the time last year. Whatever it was. For sure.
I don't have that one miniature, but other than that, I've got everything. I've got all 34 of the second edition Snotlings.
Brilliant.
Oh.
Very cool.
Yeah, I've got
two of them. now, are they on display or are they...
Yeah. I have a display in it. I would happily show that off. Maybe a photo might be best because...
Yeah.
It's down in my man cave, down on the lower level. We ran it. We ran a housewarming here for me moving into this place. And we ran 9 different versions of sevens, and so you rolled randomly. So you brought a team, and then you rolled to see what type of sevens you would play. You know, is it beach bowl? Is it gutter bowl? Is it standard sevens? Is it
Oh, nice!
Very cool. I've got gutter bowl. I haven't played gutter bowl yet. I've got that. That's on my to playlist. It's sitting on a shelf. I must get around to that soon.
Yeah.
I think games, hats off to Games Workshop. They've done a great job in monetizing Blood Bowl, you know, like the Sevens pitch and then, you know, Dungeon Bowl and then the Dungeon Bowl expansion, which I don't think was a huge success. I've seen lots of that sudden death expansion floating around. Hats off to them.
I'd be really interested to find out whether Games Workshop quite realized how big Sevens was going to be. It's just taking off now in New Zealand, but I know that overseas Sevens just went out straight out the gates sort of thing, and I don't know whether Games Workshop thought, oh God, we need to put something out for Blood Bowl. Let's put out Sevens. That was in a journal once many years ago. We'll stick that out, and that's brilliant. We've managed to get something out there. I don't know whether they realised how many print runs they had to quickly do to meet demand of those pitches.
Yeah, they definitely did, and they did with Gutter Bowl too. They actually ran out pretty much straight away with that too. And had to reprint them Gutter Bowl as well. So yeah, both Sevens. You're right. They had to do a reprint there, and they also did with Gutter Bowl. So I think there's a big market for those expansions. The other interesting one there is Games Workshop did a partnership with Barnes & Noble, which is a US book chain.
Oh, yes.
And they produced a whole bunch of little box sets, and they're still doing it. But they brought out Blitz Bowl. I don't know whether you had any access to that.
I saw it in a store here in Christchurch a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I was in the United States back end of last year, and I picked up a copy in New York City. Yeah, I played it a few times. It's a great game. Genuinely, it's a great game. I thought it would be kind of Blood Bowl light, but actually it's a really interesting, slightly different rule set. It's a really cool way of playing.
Because it's based on the kind of crush, isn't it? Like the idea.
Yeah, that's the background story. And it was written by James Hewitt, who was actually contracted to help with Blood Bowl 2016 release. So he wrote the Blitz Bowl season one and season two, so the first two Blitz Bowls. So then an Ultimate Edition he had nothing to do with. So they did three versions of Blitz Bowl, right? So one, two, and Ultimate. Which again shows how, you know, if they were not sold out, they wouldn't have done that. So again, kind of popular it is. But what we've done here is Paul Miller, aka Milsey, who's well known in Australia, has actually developed a set of rules to turn that into a Blood Bowl Sevens variant. So it's called Arena Bowl. So it's a Sevens variant. So it uses normal Blood Bowl rules. You play Blood Bowl, but it uses kind of a mishmash of kind of Sevens and Dungeon Bowl rules on the Blitz Bowl pitches.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I see. I can see how that would work. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I can stick a PDF of that. I'm sure Milsey would be fine missing a PDF of that up on the Discord.
That'd be brilliant. Thank you, sir. That'd be amazing.
That would be awesome. Mm. Yeah.
And he's got another one called Bridge Bowl, where you're kind of playing on a bridge. You can get pushed up into the water or the lava, depending upon what you're playing on. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Very cool. Yeah. No, I played it a few times. Since I picked it up last year. Great game. Brilliant game, Blitz Bowl. Really enjoyed it. Mm.
And fairly quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here in Australia, of course, you know, you've heard about the Big V and how amazing that is. I mean, I'm still in shock at how many people turned up to that last year.
Yeah, yeah.
Given Eucalyptus Bowl and CanCon. So I was running CanCon way back in the day, and Eucalyptus Bowl was being run by Ian Double Skulls Williams with Ray, but James Russell Wills assisting, and we fought each other for years to have the biggest attendance, and it went back and forth and back and forth, and I had 70 coaches at CanCon, and then Eucalyptus Bowl the same year would have 71, and then I'd have 72 the following year, and then he'd have 73, and it went back and forth and back and forth like that, and that was it. Then it fizzled a while. You know, I handed it over to Clayfinity. And for whatever reason, you know, Blood Bowl numbers tapered off for a season, and then Big V has just smashed those numbers out of the park. I mean, they got 89 and then 144 or something. Yeah,
crazy.
So then they've got the cheeky V just before it. I don't know whether you know about the cheeky V, which is like a sevens tournament that happens before it. Well, that's kind of inspired a whole raft of little. Either on the Friday night before or the Saturday night dinner, you run a little sevens tournament. You run three little sevens games on the side. Like, it's a clever little way of having a bit of sevens fun along with your Blood Bowl.
And once you get to those numbers, though, then it becomes the event, doesn't it? Do you know what I mean? Like, as soon as people see numbers like that, they're like, oh, that's the one to be at. You know, that's especially if you're here in Aotearoa, you're like, oh, there's 140 coaches there. That's where I want to be, you know? Because the video footage and stuff from Vita was like, it was epic. You know, I was like, oh, this is just brilliant. It's a whole convention, isn't it? It's, you know, it's everything you want.
It is an event in its own right. That's true. And you know, you did actually get sponsors, you know, with merchandise tables there. I think Jester Prince, who's a sponsor of the Queensland Blood Bowl team, I might add. Yes. He went down there. I mean, I think he played, but yeah. he definitely had his own stall there. So yeah, you're right. It becomes a little convention in its own right.
Yeah, and that's the Osbell Octopuses were there for the first ever from my Secret League friends, Ricardo Grande and all the offline, and that was that was really exciting for us, So then I love it. I love it.
Very cool. Very cool.
Mm.
Good stuff.
Yeah. So, I think actually getting each of the provinces to think about how do we form our squad for the PPC? What process do we go through? Is it just, league standings? If there's only one league in that province, is it a tournament or a couple of tournaments that you put on? Getting people to come along to earn the points for those, I think, can actually provide one more factor, just one more reason to be involved in Blood Bowl. And as we've touched on earlier, just providing an opportunity to chat is another reason, and a good reason, in terms of men's mental health.
Yeah.
Why not? And I think it's just going to go from strength to strength. I think PPC is the exact motivating factor that's going to really see New Zealand Blood Bowl go to the next level. I'm really excited about it.
Very cool.
And I think we've seen Blood Bowl reach, hitherto not yet seen numbers. The numbers in Blood Bowl tournaments across the world are now numbers we've never seen before.
Yeah.
And I think that comes back to Games Workshop are supporting the product. They've been supporting the product since 2016. People are seeing their releases, several times a year. They know it's a stable product. They know people are playing it. People are just coming out of the woodwork and saying, I'm picking up a team. And so, just to go full circle, that's why you should buy the Gnome team, support GW, keep Blood Bowl going.
Absolutely.
Sold. I'm going to get three.
Done.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
We get 12.
Good stuff.
And that's why I'm so deep into it. I'm deep in. I'll buy it. Buy as much. And you got to say, they're doing a great job of it.
They're agreed.
And last but not least, if anybody wants to escape New Zealand winter, I'm looking at you, Tricky. If August is a terrible, terrible month in the deep south, if you want to escape it, then why don't you think about coming to a tropical island? My tournament that I'm running is on the Great Keppel Island, which is right next to the lovely Yeppoon. We actually, you have to get there by ferry. You can't get there unless you're on the water. Yeah, so it's a tropical island, it's a tropical event, and it's a pirate-themed tournament, right? So to bring your pirate theme. So this is the second time we've run it. We ran it the first time on Curtis Island. Last time we had 20 coaches. This time we're going to have over 30. It's kind of a whole deal. You've got accommodation, you've got food, all part of the package. And if you come along, there's an exclusive miniature, which her name's Mrs. Davy Jones. She's kind of a vampiric octopus lady, and would make a very good star player. Karina Von, whatever her name is. She'd also make a great Kiroth Krakeni, or whatever the guy is, the dark elf captain with the squid mask. If you come along, part of the swag, we're big into swag. We want everybody to get a pretty good stuff we're giving away. So you get two Blood Bowl coins, just like if you bought a Games Workshop team and you get the coins, but they'll be Aztec gold out of Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, nice,
Aztec gold. Yeah. And then you get a miniature travel case, which will be like kind of your pirate chest. I haven't designed the sticker that goes on it, but it's just the right size to take a full team on carry-on luggage on your local airline.
Excellent.
Honestly, cool. Mate, could you sell that any better? That's like, where else in the world can you do that?
That's great. Okay, cool.
Mrs. Tricky, pack your bag. I'm taking you to a tropical island.
I'm thinking of you, South Islanders. I know what August is like.
It's a very good time to go. Absolutely, yeah, for sure.
I'm sure we can get some good flights.
It'd be a bit of a trek,
time.
But if anybody did come, we would put on the full a full Aussie welcome. We would pick you up from the airport in Rocky. We'd get you there. We'd show you the sights. In fact, I mentioned Millennium Comics and Collectibles earlier. Rob himself has said he's going to specially open the store just for us when we get back on the Sunday afternoon. So anybody who wins any gift vouchers for his store can spend it that evening before they catch the flight home. So if you did want to make the trek over, I'm not asking you to really, but if you really wanted to go the extra mile with Blood Bowl.
All right, then, can we have more details on this then? I want to see what we can do.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'll stick it. I'll post it up. And there's a lot of great tournaments out there, and I know it's a congested space. And you know, some people are doing amazing things. You know, I mentioned James Russell Wills a few times. Rabid, he's put together. He and Georgie Christo, who unsuccessfully ran for NAF Treasurer, who was is a friend of the show and
he
was on the other.
Very much a friend of the show, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. They've put together a Euro Bowl team. So, you know, you talk about coming to Queensland in August. These guys are going to Greece.
Yeah.
I don't know. Have you seen the rules set for Euro Bowl?
I haven't, no.
No, not
They're
yet.
They're a bit weird. They're a bit weird, aren't they?
Yeah, you know, have you the saying, it's all Greek to me?
Yeah, it's their
rules pack, mate. I'm telling you. When you look, particularly when you compare it with Malta, you look at Malta's Euro Bowl, and yeah, that's pretty straightforward. You look at the Greek one, you're like, it's 16 different packs and whatever else you can add on.
Aspects of this and aspects of that. Is that that's the correct rule set, isn't it? It really sounded an interesting kind of area they're moving into with the ideas, and it's a interesting kind of way of exploring the limits of the rule set.
I think what they're trying to do is really lean into the joy of fiddling with rosters, you know, that kind of anticipation of the event and thinking about all the different possibilities. They're really trying to maximize, you know, some people love that kind of, you know, what do you call that, team management element of Blood Bowl. I think that's what they're trying to do. But, you know, Australia and New Zealand have had a long-standing invitation to go to Euro Bowl. I know it's called Euro Bowl, but it's open to any country.
Yeah.
They've had a long-standing invitation to get over. This is the first time Australia has finally managed to put up a team, because it's not a team of six like Ausbol State Champs. It's not like EPC with a team of four. It's not like Tournament of Champs with a team of three. This is a team of nine. You need a team of nine.
That's full on.
Wow.
And the team they've put up, I have to say, hats off. They are going to be damn competitive, but I think it's going to work the same way as Otago selection. Are you prepared to get there? Yes, you're on the team.
Exactly.
I thought that was the only way Blood Bowl teams were chosen until I heard about Sydney, but there you go.
And I wonder if that Aussie team will take the Pavlova with them, the Pavlova play.
Oh, there we go. Maybe.
Oh, I don't know. Look, I don't know, but I'm really interested to see whether I'm in the PAV calculations, because they backdated it.
They did, but I don't think they backdated it to 1997.
No, they can't. 2003 was the first. Look, I'll maybe save some of that. You know, what do you call that, nostalgia for another day? I remember the black NAF dice came out in 2002.
Ooh, and I remember
at CanCon at the time, everybody was like, wow, black block dice, that's brilliant. They all grabbed them. And by the end of game one, they'd all put them away and got their white block dice out because they rolled so terribly.
Very cool.
So I don't know where the PAV is up to. I'm sure some of the games I've played against New Zealand players, because, you know, there's been New Zealand players over to Eucalyptus Bowl and things. I'm sure I'd have a few results.
Oh, I'm sure you would.
In the data somewhere.
Well, for Kiwi coaches and Aussie coaches, your interest, I had confirmation that Ricardo Grande is on the plane over here for Oti Poti Bowl, so we'll be defending the PAV down here, and we'll be so there is a bet on the line, which is great, so we'll keep those sign ups rolling in.
Very cool.
Pressure.
Yeah,
good on you.
No one's ever called me that before.
But thanks for joining us, Babs. That's been amazing.
Yeah, oh, mate. I'd love to do it again sometime. I've got lots
do.
More I could
Absolutely.
Talk about. Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you've run out of things to talk about and you want to wheel out some crusty old husband, that's when I come back.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll get you back on again. Thanks very much. That's grand.
So good. So good.
Thanks to Babs for joining us this evening. Hopefully everyone's had a good time. Keep throwing some skulls. Keep enjoying Blood Bowl. Catch you on the next Paratera.
Thanks for listening to Paratera, the New Zealand Blood Bowl podcast.